from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and news in brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government asked to monitor money circulation ahead of election. Two French warships anchored at Tanjung Priok Harbour. Now the news in detail. Speaker of the House of Representatives Bambang Susatyo has called on the government to watch closely money circulation ahead of the simultaneous regional election and the Idul Fitri. He said it was needed as anticipation counterfeit money circulation. Bambang Susatyo said in a statement on Sunday, April 22, that counterfeit money circulation will increase ahead of the regional election and Idul Fitri. Susatyo made his statement in response to the disclosure of a syndicate that produced and circulate counterfeit money in 100,000 rupiah notes. The case has been investigated further by the Crime Investigation Unit Bareskrim of the Indonesian Police. The House Speaker has also called on the Finance Ministry, the Central Bank, and the Counterfeit Money Eradication Coordination Agency to monitor money circulation. He also called on the public to increase awareness on counterfeit money circulation and only exchange their currencies in banks and authorized money changers. He also added that the police should investigate the case thoroughly and impose appropriate punishment for the perpetrators. Two warships belonging to the French Navy, participants of the multilateral naval exercise Komodo 2018, anchored in Tanjung Priok, Jakarta from April 22 to 24. The ships are a French Navy ship Dixmude, a type of amphibious carrier and commando, and FNS Surikov, a stealth frigate. The commander of the patrol ships unit of primary base of Navy 3, Colonel Salim, said that the crewmen of the two vessels will carry out various activities in Jakarta, including joint exercises with the Western Fleet Command of the Indonesian Navy, 10EIL. This was conveyed by Colonel Salim to the media on the sidelines of welcoming ceremony of FNS Dixmude and FNS Surikov on Sunday, April 22.
Tadi sudah disampaikan bahwa tujuannya kapal Prancis ke sini.
The purpose of the French ships here, firstly to follow the Komodo exercise drills after leaving from here to Lombok, Bali until Wednesday. They will also carry out courtesy calls to the Navy main base, then to the Navy officers, the local government, the mayor, and joint sport. There will also be a boat trip. Finally, there will also an invitation dinner and maritime discussion, the passing exercise with the Indonesian Western Navy Fleet Command. Colonel Salim further added that the arrival of FNS Dixmude and FNS Surikov in Jakarta is a manifestation of fellow seafarers and naval diplomacy. The two vessels' arrival is also to strengthen the relationship of fellow navies around the world, also enhance bilateral relations among countries. In connection with the two vessels' scheduled visit to Bali prior to the implementation of the Komodo Multilateral Naval Exercise 2018 from May 4 to 9, Colonel Salim said the French Navy will meet with a number of partners to discuss the improvement of defense relations with Indonesia. Navy warship of the United Kingdom, Albion, visits Indonesia and anchored at Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta for 3 days from April 22 to 24, 2018. The vessel is a sea transport ship from the United Kingdom. Built by BAE Systems Marine and Barrow in Furness, Albion was launched in March 2001 by Princess Royal. During anchored in Jakarta, the ship's crews will conduct a series of activities including those involving the Indonesian Navy. In addition, during their visit to Indonesia, the ship crews led by Captain Tim Nielt also took time to visit the orphanage located near the harbor. This was conveyed by the British ambassador to Indonesia, Muazzam Malik, in Jakarta on Sunday, April 22.
Indonesia and France to operate together, to be able to react to anything that could occur. It could be a disaster, disaster relief, humanitarian assistance, etc. So we started this cooperation. It's in both ways. We have things to learn from the Indonesian Navy. They know their archipelagic water much better than us.
In addition, Ambassador Muazzam Malik said that HMS Albion's visit in Jakarta is also aimed to invite Indonesia to be more involved in its role in the international world. The ambassador also said that Indonesia is a G20 member country with a large economy and democracy. Therefore, the United Kingdom wants to invite Indonesia and see Indonesia more independently. The country also expressed its commitment to cooperate with Indonesia in various fields. Two international airlines, Qantas Airways and Jetstar Asia Airways, is set to relocate its operations from Soekarno-Hatta Airport Terminal 2 to its new home at Terminal 3 in May. Angkasa Pura Soekarno-Hatta Airport Operation and Service Executive Manager Jody Prasetyo recently said in Jakarta that two airlines will simultaneously relocate their operations exactly on May 11. According to Jody, airlines with international flights will be relocated to Terminal 3, which will install Terminal 3 and Soekarno-Hatta as a world-class airport. Furthermore, Jody said that Soekarno-Hatta has overtaken Changi Airport and Incheon as the busiest airport compared to the latter two. Reports suggest that Angkasa Pura II is currently establishing a north-south connecting runway in its eastern part of or an east cross taxiway and a third runway. Jody further said that the current amount of air traffic faced by the Soekarno-Hatta Airport is at 81 flights an hour, which could possibly reach 114 hours per hour. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PLN is preparing to issue global bonds with a goal to earn $1 billion. The state-owned enterprises ministry has said. Indonesian state-owned enterprises ministry deputy for financial survey and consultant services Gatot Trihargo did not specify an exact date as to when the global bonds would be issued, but he said they would likely come earlier than the bonds issuance by National Flag Carrier Garuda Indonesia, which had already announced its plan. He said on Monday, April 23, that the plan is in May because PLN needs the funds. Maybe it will be earlier than the issuance of Garuda Indonesia's global bonds. Meanwhile, in speaking about Garuda Indonesia's global bonds, Gatot said the company would wait for the market conditions to change because the ministry wanted the cost of funds to be more competitive. From the global bonds issuance, Garuda Indonesia targets to collect $750 million. In its prospectus issued early last week, Garuda Indonesia appointed four banks, namely Australia and New Zealand Banking Group, Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, Deutsche Bank, and Standard Chartered Bank. The funds from the bank issuance would be used to reprofile the company's debt to make its long-term debt larger than its short-term debts. Property developer PT Adi Persada Property, a subsidiary of state-owned company Adikarya, is targeting business people from Singapore and other Asia-Pacific countries through its recent collaboration with Jetstar Asia Airways. The property developer signed an agreement with the airline in Singapore on April 19 on the branding placement of Adi Persada on Jetstar aircraft. The airline operates daily flights from Singapore to Jakarta. PT Adi Persada Property APP Marketing Director Wahyuni Sutantri said the company's main targets were Singaporean businessmen as well as businessmen from the Asia-Pacific region as they regularly travel to Jakarta needing a place to stay. Tantri said in a recent statement that foreigners can take advantage of properties as a form of investment in addition to having a place to stay. She said products launched by Adi Persada generally offer a capital gain of 15-22% annually. At present, APP oversees many projects for premium apartments, landed houses, and commercial areas. The last item, the Indonesian Palm Oil Producers Association GAPKI has said that the country's palm oil export, excluding biodiesel and oleochemical products, declined to 2.37 million tons in February, or 14% less than the 2.74 million tons exported in January. GAPKI said in a statement received on Monday, April 23, that the decline in export was caused by the Chinese New Year holiday and the fewer days in February, when a lower export volume was recorded each year. Meanwhile, cumulative export from January to February reached 5.1 million tons, a 3% year-on-year decrease compared to 5.3 million tons in 2017. Export demand rose 41% among Middle Eastern countries to 209,000 million tons in February from 148,060 tons in January. GAPKI said the increased demand in the Middle East is a regular monthly cycle. China's demand increased by 6%. Export to the United States decreased by 50% in January, particularly due to that country's high domestic stock of soybeans. Export to India decreased by 26%, to Pakistan by 22%, to the European Union by 17%, to Africa by 16%, and to Bangladesh by 4%. The national palm oil production also decreased by 2% in February from 3.4 million in January. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government asked to monitor money circulation ahead of election. Two French warships anchored at Tanjung Priok Harbour. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is, Does HUTS make it difficult for participants of the National Examination of Junior High Schools? The implementation of National Examination for Junior High School Level, or locally called SNP, or the equivalent, is held simultaneously starting today, April 23rd until April 26th in Indonesia, with the total number of the participants nearly 4.3 million students. 63% of the participants followed the National Examination Based Computer, or locally called UNBK, while the others still followed the action by conventional way, namely by pencil and paper, UNKP. When asked how difficult it is about the use of the HOTS model, higher order thinking skills, in the national examination of Yunnan High School and the equivalent, head of the National Education Standard Agency BSNP, Bambang Suryadi, responded that the model has become the policy of the Minister of Education and Culture to introduce the assessment with the HOTS model that aims to train critical, creative, and analytical thinking skills among students so that they do not learn by memorizing patterns. This is in line with the one of the goals of the 2013 curriculum that does encourage the critical, creative, and analytical thinking skills. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said to Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Sunday that about 10 to 15% of the existing questions are related to HOTS model. The level of difficulty is adjusted to the ability of Yunnan High School students. Why does HOTS model seem difficult for the students? Secretary General of the Federation of Indonesian Teachers Union, FSGI, Heri Purnomo, perceives that only some teachers apply HOTS in school learning. The approach of HOTS model is related to the 2013 curriculum. Meanwhile, most of the students who sit at the 9th class attending the UN-based computer, UNBK, still use Education Unit Level Curriculum, KTSP. In fact, any kinds of education models given in the National Examination for Yunnan High School students or the equivalent levels will not be considered difficult if the participating examinees have well prepared for the exam. Students' great motivation to understand teaching materials at school, including support from parents, teachers, and the environment, becomes very meaningful to be successful in the final exams, such as the national exam, the school exam, or nationally standardized exam. Well, listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started from an event on April 23, 2007, when Boris Yeltsin passed away. Boris Nikolayevich Yeltsin was a Russian politician and the first president of the Russian Federation, serving from 1991 to 1999. Yeltsin era was a dramatic period in the Russian history, on which it was signed by changing of revolutionary politics, democracy, the big problems of polity, economy, and social. One of them was corruption, which was rampant. On 12 June 1991, he was elected by popular vote to the newly created post of president of the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic, RSFSR. In August 1991, Yeltsin got international praise because he was votedly as a Democrat. He was able to fight a coup attempt by hardline communists. In his period, Yeltsin cut government budget on a large scale with the aim of balancing state revenues and expenditures and borrowing funds from Western countries. But this resulted in Russian falling in a great economic crisis in 1998, judged by some experts to be more severe than the Great Depression in European and American countries in the decade of the 1930s. Boris Yeltsin resigned as a president on December 31, 1999. He was replaced by Vladimir Putin. Boris Yeltsin passed away on April 23, 2007 due to heart failure. The next event is about World Book Day. The World Book Day, or World Book and Copyright Day, is a yearly event on April 23rd, organized by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, to promote reading, publishing and copyright. In the United Kingdom, the day is recognized on the past Thursday in March. World Book Day was celebrated for the first time on 23rd April 1995. The relation between April 23rd and book was initiated by a bookstore in Catalonia, Spain, in 1923. The original idea was writer from Valencia, Vincent Clavel Andrés, to honor a famous writer, Miguel de Cervantes, who passed away on that date in 1995. UNESCO determined World Book Day, or World Book and Copyright Day, to be celebrated on April 23rd because the date was the death of William Shakespeare and Inca Garcilaso de la Vega, and also the birth and the death day of some famous writers. The last event is that in 1987, the fifth general election was held in Indonesia. General election of the House of Representatives and Regional House of Representatives in 1987 was held simultaneously on April 23, 1987, to select members of the House of the Representatives and the Regional House of the Representatives Level 1 of provinces, or Level 2 of the agency or district throughout Indonesia, 1987-1992 period. The general election was joined by political parties, namely Functional Growth Party or Golkar, United Development Party PPP, and Indonesian Democratic Party PDI. The winner of this election was Golkar. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. Speaker of the House of Representatives Bambang Susatyo has called on the government to watch closely money circulation ahead of the simultaneous regional election and the Idul Fitri. Bambang Susatyo said in a statement on Sunday that counterfeit money circulation will increase ahead of the regional election and Eid al-Fitri. Two warships belonging to the French Navy, participants of the multilateral naval exercise Komodo 2018, anchored in Tanjung Priok, Jakarta from April 22 to 24. The ships of French Navy ship Dixmude, a type of amphibious carrier and commando, and FNS Surikov, a stealth frigate. Navy warship of the United Kingdom HMS Albion visits Indonesia and anchored at Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta for 3 days from April 22 to 24, 2018. Two international airlines, Qantas Airways and Jetstar Asia Airways, is set to relocate its operation from Soekarno-Hatta Airport Terminal 2 to its new home at Terminal 3 in May. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PLN is preparing to issue global bonds with a goal to earn $1 billion, the state-owned enterprises ministry has said. Indonesian state-owned enterprises ministry's deputy for financial survey and consultant services, Gatot Trihargo, did not specify an exact date as to when the global bonds would be issued, but he said they would likely come earlier when the global bonds would be issued. Property developer PT Adi Persada Property, a subsidiary of state-owned company Adikarya, is targeting business people from Singapore and other Asia-Pacific countries through its recent collaboration with Jetstar Asia Airways. The Indonesian Palm Oil Producers Association, KAPKI, has said that the country's palm oil export, excluding biodiesel and oleochemical products, declined to 2.37 million tons in February, or 14% less than the 2.74 million tons exported in January. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Mie Tony in Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listeners, Javanese people, especially Yogyakarta people, has various kinds of traditional ceremonies which are still conducted. One of them is Mie Tony, that is carried out when the first pregnancy has been 7 months old. Listeners, in the tradition of Yogyakarta people, either from common people or royal family, Mie Tony is the most important ritual among other traditional rituals. If this ritual is ignored, people believe that the bad luck may happen to the mother and the unborn child. According to the tradition, Mie Tony can be implemented on the dates of 7th, 17th, and 27th before full moon on Javanese calendar. The ritual is conducted at the left and right of the house facing to sunrise. Listeners, Mie Tony ceremony cannot be implemented randomly, but there are ways and sequences to implement it. This starts from splashing. The splashing is conducted by seven closest relatives with the aim of asking safety for baby in the mother's womb. The water which is used is from seven springs by being accommodated on a bucket which is made from brass. Then the water is mixed with various kinds of flowers such as rose, jasmine, kantil, and kenanga. Then this is continued with brojolan. Brojolan usually is led by the mother of the pregnant woman. The pregnant woman will wear clothes called jarik, which is twisted with a rope called letrek. The letrek is streaked with red, white, and black colors. Then the mother of the pregnant woman puts the loons called tropong or chicken egg into the clothes and drops it so that the childbirth will take place smoothly. It is continued by breaking through two coconuts which are described a pair of wayang figures with handsome and beautiful faces. It's hoped that baby who is born has handsome or beautiful face. Listeners, thus Mitoni ceremony is continued with Angreman processioned, which sings love of a mother and father to their baby. The pregnant woman will be guided to another room to change dresses with 7 different ones. The last procession is Dodol Rujak, or in English means selling fruit salad. This procession is that the pregnant woman will make rujak by being accompanied by her husband. Then the guests will buy it by using kereweng as currency. It is meant that the baby will get good fortune and to be able to support her or his family. Basically, the ceremony is gratitude expression to the god for safety and tranquility. But this is expressed in the symbols which have different meanings. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring me, Tony, from Yogyakarta. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, along with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Memperkenalkan Orang Lain, or in English, Introducing Other Persons. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about memperkenalkan orang lain, or in English, introducing other persons. As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation between Tony, Joko, and tour guide at Prambanan Temple.
Joko, kenalkan, ini Mbak Nina, pembantu wisata di sini. Mbak Nina, ini Joko, teman saya.
Halo Mbak, saya Joko.
Nina.
Listener, after we listen to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies, idioms, and sentences related to the topic today about memperkenalkan orang lain, or in English, introducing other persons. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Pemandu wisata. Pemandu wisata. In English, tour guide. Memperkenalkan. Memperkenalkan, in English, to introduce. Di sini, di sini, in English, here. Teman saya, teman saya, in English, my friend. Listener, to introduce other persons, simply you can say Joko kenalkan ini Mbak Nina. Joko kenalkan ini Mbak Nina. In English, Joko, I will introduce you. This is Mbak Nina. Mbak Nina, ini Joko. Mbak Nina, ini Joko. In English, Mbak Nina, this is Joko. Another example. Joko, kenalkan ini Mbak Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Joko, kenalkan ini Mbak Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. In English, Joko, this is Mbak Nina, a tour guide here. Mbak Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. Mbak Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. In English, Mbak Nina, this is Joko, my friend. The person who is introduced usually mentions again his or her name while shaking hands. For example, kenalkan, ini Tony. Kenalkan, ini Tony. In English, this is Tony. Tony, ini Sinta. Tony, ini Sinta. In English, Tony, this is Sinta. Then Tony mentioned his name, Tony. And Sinta also mentioned her name, Sinta. The word Mbak in a conversation is used to greet a young woman, especially in Java. To greet an older woman, it is usually used the word Ibu and Bapak for a man. To greet a young man, you can use the word Mas. You will add the name after the word Mbak or Mas, such as Mbak Sinta, Mbak Rani, Mas Tony, and Mas Andi. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's listen the conversation once more.
Joko, kenalkan, ini Mbak Nina, pembantu wisata di sini. Mbak Nina, ini Joko, teman saya.
Halo Mbak, saya Joko.
Nina.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please say your name, your address, and your favorite food. For example, Selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya, nasi goreng. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong songs. Let's listen to the first song entitled Melati di Tapal Batas by Savitri. Happy listening.
Terima kasih.
Di Tapal Batas is a struggle theme song. The song was composed by Ismail Marzuki, an Indonesian talented music composer in the era of Indonesian independence struggle. Nevertheless, this song is still enjoyable and always inspires a sense of patriotism and nationalism. This song is one of the Indonesian heroic songs presented by Nur Agni Savitri, or better known as Savitri, in a modern kroncong music. Savitri dedicated kroncong songs accompanied by music instruments such as ukulele, flute, and violin. Initially, Savitri did not interested to kroncong music, but thanks to the encouragement of parents, Savitri finally learned kroncong music and started to love it. Moreover, she said that singing kroncong is an irreplaceable pride during her music career. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sabda Alam. Happy listening.
Yeah.
was the song entitled Sabda Alam by Savitri, who started her music career since she was in junior high school. Her name became popular in Semarang, Centro Java. She attended the radio and television singing contest or Bintang Radio Televisi BRTV. According to Savitri, singing the song with Kroncong Gendri has a special difficulty. The love and pride of Kroncong music is then poured into the work, namely Kroncong in Long album. The album, which was released in 2009, contains 10 mixed songs of old Indo-Western and modern with the rhythm of Chongrok and Chongdut. The Kroncong music, which is packed with arrangements wrapped with international and Indonesia nicely and smoothly, is a form of dedication to preserve Kroncong music in order to be received by the young generations. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aryati and Rangkaian Melati by Savitri. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Dosa ke hamba mimpi berkah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.